pastor conference, so all of them are there, so you're stuck with me. But there's quite a few of you here, and the pastor announced it last Sunday that I'd be up here, so I'm glad to see you come back. For those of you that are visiting and looking for a new church, welcome. Don't base your opinion on today. Wait till the real guy gets back here. With that, I guess we'll start our service. Hallelujah! Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Children here today, you guys are it. You're going to be my children. Pastor said, if there's no children there, do it anyway. They love it. We'll see. So what I'd like you to do, I know some of you played this game. I know my little granddaughter's playing with me all the time. They'll be copying me. Copy what I say, every move I make. That kind of thing. So that's what we're going to do. When I say go, I want you to do whatever I do and repeat whatever I say. I won't get you in trouble. Okay, go. When I say stop, then you go.
When I say stop,
then you'll quit. Then you'll quit copying me. But up until that time, you copy that
point.
Can you tell me how many bones are in the human hand?
Can you tell me how many bones are in the human hand?
27.
27.
How many bones are in the human foot?
How many bones are in the human foot?
26.
26.
Okay. There are 206 bones in the body.
There are 206 bones in the body.
And more than half of those are in the foot and the hand, or the foot and the hand.
And more than half of those are in the foot and the hands.
Okay, stop.
Okay, stop.
Okay, now I have a question for you. How many bones in the hand?
27.
How many bones in the foot?
26.
And how many bones in the body?
206.
206, yes. And more than half of them are in the
hand.
So you've learned something by copying me. Well, that's in our readings today. That's how Jesus taught his disciples. He had them do whatever he said and whatever he did, so that they can communicate with God and communicate with other people and pass it on. And that's how they went out and did Jesus' teachings. So that was, that's in our lesson today, and you'll get to that, or get to that when Darcy reads them. So now we have to get ready for the prayer. You all know what we do there. Spread our hands. One, two, three. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for Jesus.
Thank you for Jesus.
Please help us.
Please help us.
To copy his words and his actions.
To copy his words and his actions.
So that we can better know you.
So that we can better know you.
And then share your peace and love with others. Amen. Thank you. Very good.
You're welcome.
People of God, see the morning is new. Rise from your sleeping and run to the tomb. Come and see. The sun has arisen for all.
first reading today, the seventh Sunday of Easter, is written in Acts chapter 16. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews, and they are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were fastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. At the same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds. Then he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. Holy wisdom, holy word.
For the psalm, I'll be leading with the non-bolded words, and you'll be responding with the bold words.
The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of the isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround the Lord, righteousness and justice are the foundations of God's throne. Fire goes before the Lord, burning up enemies on every side. Lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. The heavens declare your righteousness, O Lord, and all confound and be all who worship carved images and delight in false gods. Bow down before the Lord, all you gods.
Zion hears and is glad, and the cities of Judah rejoice, because of your judgments, O Lord.
exalted for above all gods.
You who love the Lord hate evil. God guards the lives of the saints and rescues them from the hand of the wicked.
Light dawns for the righteous and joy for the honest of heart.
Rejoice in the Lord, your righteous, and give thanks to God's holy name.
Our second reading this morning is written in Revelation chapter 22. Now hear the word. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel of the day, I thought I got to make a comparison of some kind. So I thought, how about musicians? They're in this interesting bunch. And no, I'm not talking about our ladies that play the piano here in church. So you can relax, Tammy and Melody and Marion. I'm talking about musicians in general. They're interesting, certainly. Musicians have some sort of talent, but oftentimes it's the musician that appreciates University who was asked, do musicians have egos? And they said, oh yes, just spend about 5 seconds at the School of Music and you'll find out. Musicians often think highly of themselves. They're very self-conscious. They're very self-interested and very self-focused. They enjoy hearing themselves perform music, and they have a concern for themselves and their talent. Musicians will even joke about this, and there are jokes like this. How does the lead singer change a light bulb? Well, they just hold it in place and the whole world revolves around them. And another one is a violin smaller than a viola? No, it's not. But the violin players just have bigger heads. And how many trumpet players does it take to change a light bulb? Well, just one, but there would be about 15 standing around saying they could have done it better. So musicians have egos, just like us. And I think one of the best places to see this is on display at a band or orchestra concert before the concert begins. The audience is coming in, being seated, and the musicians kind of slowly trickle in, pick their seat, sit down, and they're on the stage where you can see them. They usually don't talk to anybody else. They just take their seat and sit there. They know people are watching them, so everything they do, they try to look really cool. I know, because I've done this, all right? I'm doing it right now. They sit there, check out their instrument, adjust the music on their stand, look around and check out, see who's checking them out, and then they start to warm up. But when they do, they'll play something that they really know, so they won't make any mistakes on it, hopefully. And they'll play it loud so everybody can hear. And if they make a mistake while they're playing, they'll look at their instrument and make some adjustments like it was the instrument's fault. So soon the stage is full of musicians trying to be cool and look impressive. Something like a collective group of egos. But then this happens. The conductor walks out. The conductor walks onto the stage and gets on the podium and it gets quiet. Everybody is focused on the conductor. The conductor then raises his arms and starts to lead the musicians in playing together. At this point, it's no longer a collection of individual egos. They're all together, they're one, and they're making beautiful, harmonious music together. The conductor has stepped in, taking away the selfish oneness of the egos and giving them a new oneness of playing together. In fact, the word symphony comes from a Greek word that means harmonious, and even more literally, to sound together. Behind the word is the meaning of agreeing with those that you're with. And when musicians are led by the conductor, they agree to sound together. All concern for self disappears, and they're in harmony. In fact, this word for symphony is also a word that we get the word synod from. I'll just let you deal with that one on your own. Synod doesn't always agree with us. Anyway, there's a lot of talk in the world, sometimes among Christians, that we need unity in Christianity. There are too many denominations. There's too much disagreeing about practices and doctrines, and that we should all strive to be one. The verse that we just heard in the gospel reading today are often cited as those verses that say we're supposed to be one. Jesus wants us to be one. Now, John 17, the whole chapter is a prayer. It's called the High Priestly Prayer, where on the night of the Lord's Supper, just after the Lord's Supper, with his disciples, Jesus then prays for them. He's praying for them, but not just for them. Maybe you caught that in the reading. Jesus prayed, I'm praying also for those who believe in me through their word, through the teaching and messaging of the apostles. Others were going to come to believe in Jesus, and he was praying for them. He's talking about us and others who would believe in Jesus through that same message. So does Jesus mean that Christians should stop all of their differences or drop all their differences and become completely one in all that they do? I don't think so. But he's praying about a oneness for his disciples that I think is a little bit bigger. First of all, Christians and all of humanity, we're already one. We already have a oneness together, and Jesus is very concerned about that. To see this, we need to think back to the musicians that I was talking about, because we're all like them. We too can think highly of ourselves and be self-conscious, self-promoting, and self-interested. We like hearing ourselves. We have a concern and appreciation for our own being. We do have egos. We like to admire ourselves. Basically, we're all selfish. We all think that our way of changing light bulbs is the best. In fact, how many Lutherans does it take to change a light bulb? None. Lutherans don't believe in change. More compactly, this is to say that we're all sinful. We're one in sin. We sound together in sin. Our whole world, all of us, it's like a collective group of egos on stage. But then it happens. The conductor came. The conductor walked onto the stage, and at a point in history, everybody was focused on him when he got onto the podium of the cross and raised his arms and spread them out and was crucified and died on them. Through this, the conductor leads his people and makes them one in forgiveness of their sins. Of course, I'm talking about Jesus as our conductor. He leads us into the forgiveness of sins, taking the oneness of our sins that we all have together and giving us a oneness of salvation. We're no longer a collective group of egos. We're together and one in Christ, sounding together, making harmonious music in his grace. With Jesus as our conductor, he takes away the oneness of sin and gives us the oneness of forgiveness to those who believe in him. In the prayer, Jesus talks about his oneness with the Father, and that oneness being then with us, that close, that intimate, that fulfilling kind of oneness. That's the oneness that Jesus wants for us. Not just denominations dropping their names or dropping their doctrines or anything like that. We're always going to have some sort of differences in Christianity with different groups. They could be physically in locations or in cultures or any of those. We're always going to have some sort of difference in that. But our oneness is always in Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4 says, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ. That's truly what makes us one, not particularly some doctrines that we have or some traditions that we have, for something that about our culture that we have in Christianity, but the oneness of faith in Christ. We experience that oneness here at Atonement every time we gather for worship. We experience it several times, actually, in worship. Literally, we sound together several times in confession. We sound together the oneness of our sin, confessing that together and receiving the oneness of Christ's forgiveness. Then we share the oneness. We move about, shaking hands and sharing the peace of the Lord. That oneness that we share together, which I call holy chaos, physically bringing it together in a handshake. We enjoy that oneness in the creeds when we confess them. We're confessing the same message that Jesus was confessed by the apostles, that same message from 2,000 years ago. We still confess that today, that oneness together that we're saying all together, we believe in this, and we sound together in that confession. This is what makes us one, that same message that Jesus passed to his apostles and they passed on to the entire world. We enjoy that oneness in Holy Communion. When we come together here to eat and drink, we sound together as we agree on what's going on up here, but also in eating and drinking in the oneness of Christ, forgiveness of our sins. We have the privilege of passing on that oneness to others. I mean, why does Jesus want us to be one? He prays for us to be one for our benefit, so that we can enjoy that oneness and sounding together and agreeing and making harmonious music in our Christian life together. But also for those who aren't part of that oneness. Jesus wants us to be for those who don't yet believe in him. That's very much what he said in the prayer. He prayed, "Father, may they also be in one, be in us, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them." Jesus wants us to be one so that the world will know about him. So that we're one in that same message that Jesus died and rose again for them. We're to be one for those that don't yet believe in Jesus, who don't know the conductor, whose lives are maybe out of control, and their egos have taken over, and they're only concerned about themselves and selfishness, and maybe they really want to change. They want something else. They're looking for more in their life, and we have that for them. We can proclaim that oneness in Christ, forgive them, and make them part of the oneness too. So Jesus, our conductor, if you will, he stands on the podium of the cross and brings us together in his death and resurrection. It's not oneness that comes from our talent or our egos, but oneness in his salvation for us. May we always enjoy the oneness under that same conductor.
Yeah.
3. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
God of resurrection and new life, we come before you in prayer for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Welcoming God, you invite all people to come and encounter your love. Give your church open hearts and minds to embrace all who seek your presence. Increase the capacity for cooperation between denominations and congregations. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creating God, your might is seen in storms and in silence. Where drought threatens, bring rain. Where waters flood, ease them back. Where fire, earthquake, hurricane, or tornado destroy, shelter your people and restore your land. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Discerning God, fill the hearts of leaders with your passion for justice and mercy. Call the nations of this world to tables of peace and collaboration. Encourage governments to seek avenues of collective benefit and joy. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Abiding God, all people are held in your care. Accompany survivors of abuse, trauma, and exploitation. Strengthen our resolve to listen and advocate on behalf of all who are unnoticed. Hear our prayers for those close to our heart, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, David, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Dan, Julie, Paul, David, Scott Wilson's family, Dean, Ricardo, Charles, Penelope, Mako, Mindy, victims of war and violence around the world, victims of natural disasters in our nations, in our nation and world, and also for those people for whom we name aloud or in our hearts.
Jennifer.
Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Rejoicing God, be with this congregation as summer begins in the Northern Hemisphere. Keep travelers safe. Keep the vulnerable cool. Invigorate summer ministry efforts in our community and support the well-being of children and young people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Loving God, the beginning and the end, you are with us throughout our lives. In gratitude for the saints who have died, we look forward to your coming again among us. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We commend these and all of our prayers to you, O God, trusting that you are always with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Savior.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Please stand if you're able. Forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God,
we give you thanks and praise.
Send your spirit of truth, O God, rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of the world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever.
Amen. Amen.
One I want to bring to your attention is this Thursday, the 5th of June, we'll be hosting the Fuller Bible group who ride for the homeless. They're riding from Seattle to San Diego. And they'll be here Thursday. There's just over 30 of them, 32 or 4. And we're going to host them. They'll stay overnight in our fellowship hall downstairs, and we're going to have a barbecue for their dinner. So if you want to come and meet some of those folks, that'd be fine.
Bring a side dish.
Pardon?
Bring a side dish.
Sure. June 8th, that's the next Sunday, is Pentecostal Sunday, so we're going to wear red. Okay. Did I miss anything? Good. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Thanks be to God.